They did it, and the word is patience. It's the Business News Hour for Wednesday, the 30th of January. Thanks, everybody, for being with us again today. We'll get to that story in just a moment. Also today, fewer pending home sales in December. We've got the story. The business of making sandwiches and immigration. Facebook stocks soared today. We'll tell you why. Tesla reported today. Profit was up, but was it up enough? So you want to work for yourself. Hang on. We've got some numbers when it comes to the salary of an entrepreneur. Those stories, the markets, and our small business spotlight shines on the haunted bookshop of Mobile, Alabama. It's a really great story about doing what you really, really, really want to do. Thanks for being here. And the business news, those headlines are coming up next.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, with Michael Libby, is made possible through the support of Arion, human resources, payroll, and call center help for businesses. AURION.com. AARP of Iowa. Real possibilities. AARP, Iowa. The Business News Hour, also presented by Tero International, your elite training team at TERO.com. RE/MAX Concepts, with offices in Cedar Rapids, Nevada, Ames, and the greater Des Moines Metro. RealEstateConcepts.net. The Business News is next. When you think about AARP, you no doubt think about aging. In reality, AARP Iowa is all about family. From lifting up family caregiving concerns to the Iowa legislature, to providing reliable information on fraud, to supporting art and culture, AARP is all about creating a better state for all of us. Learn more and get connected with the real possibilities of AARP Iowa. Google AARP Iowa and let's get started with you and your family, AARP Iowa. We're really about possibilities. Insight on Business, the News Hour, is brought to you by Tero International. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Tero. TERO.com. And the Iowa Business Journals. News and information for small to mid-sized businesses. IowaBusinessJournals.com.
Hey, welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Business News Hour. I'm your host, Michael Libby. Our broadcast stems from Iowa, and this morning in Des Moines, it was 20 degrees below zero. Sunday's high, meanwhile, is going to be 53. That would be a 73-degree swing. Sort of like the markets, isn't it? Speaking of the markets, the Dow shot up by over 434 points today on the news that the Fed will show patience regarding future rate hikes and said there would not be an interest hike this round. In a statement, the central bank said, quote, "The committee will be patient as it determines what future adjustments to the target range for the federal funds rate might be appropriate." The Fed added it expects to operate with an ample supply of bank reserves. The statement also dropped the word gradual. It's all about words, see? On the news, the markets all shot up, and we'll have all of those numbers later in the newscast. In yet another sign that the economy may not be booming for everybody, today the National Association of Realtors said fewer Americans signed contracts to buy homes in December, with affordability pressures causing the decline. The group said that its pending home sales index fell by 2.2% last month to 99. That's the lowest reading since April of 2014. The index, based on contract signings, has plunged 9.8% over the past 12 months. But wait, wait. The economy, it's steamrolling right along, right? Not so fast. The association said that home sales declined last year as a combination of higher mortgage rates, relatively low inventories, and price gains consistently outpaced wage growth. There are those two words again, wage growth. The pending sales index fell in the Northeast, Midwest, and South in December, but contract signings increased in the West, which is among the priciest in the country, and has witnessed a severe decline in sales over the past year as a result. Over the 12 months ending in December, the index declined in all four regions, including a 13.5% plunge in the South, which is generally the nation's fastest-growing region for housing. What's it all mean? Hang on. Today we learned that a number of companies have refused to supply sandwiches to detention centers operated by Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE. It seems that far too many vendors have refused to do business with the agency, so ICE had to extend a 6-month contract to a food service provider in California, which will continue to deliver, quote, freshly prepared meals that consist of two sandwiches, bologna, turkey, or ham, on white or wheat bread, end quote, all to an ICE processing facility in Bakersfield. According to the ICE documents regarding the sandwich deliveries, the sentiment extends beyond Bakersfield. It said in the report, quote, market research has shown there is competition, but locating a vendor in the state of California who will deliver to an ICE facility is limited, end quote. And it would seem that California's sandwich makers are not alone. Under Donald Trump, ICE has been ordered to carry out an immigration policy many Americans find reprehensible. Businesses across the U.S. have chosen not to associate their brands with ICE. For example, Microsoft employees signed a petition protesting the company's work with ICE. At least six U.S. airlines have said they will not allow the federal government to use their planes to transport children who have been separated from parents detained by ICE. More than 700 workers at Deloitte Consulting, which has several large contracts with ICE for records and program management, signed a petition last year calling for the firm to end that work, citing moral objections. The protest followed a decision by McKinsey & Company, that was a Deloitte competitor, to terminate a $20 million consulting project. Amazon employees have demanded the company stop doing business with ICE, and Salesforce employees successfully petitioned their CEO to cut ties with U.S. Customs and Border Protection, ICE's sister agency for which it supplied personnel management software. Now you know. There's some real wealth churning over at Facebook today. What happened? Well, Facebook beat Wall Street estimates for quarterly revenue and profit, helped by growth in Instagram business and a steady rise in advertising spending by companies. Shares of the company rose by 6.4% to $160.12 in extended trading today. Facebook's wealth of information on users and broad socioeconomic reach makes it a powerful tool for advertisers, but privacy-related scandals have hurt its reputation. Monthly active users rose 9% from a year earlier, get this, to 2.3 billion. That was, by the way, in line with estimates. Ad sales rose 30% to 16.6 billion in the fourth quarter alone, while cost, bolstered by moves to improve content and security after the recent data problems, rose 62% to 9 billion. Yes, it was a very good day for Facebook. Meanwhile, Tesla eked out a small fourth-quarter profit to close 2018, but a debt payment and slow demand for pricier versions of its vehicles will make it hard to stay in the black. The Palo Alto, California company posted net income of $139 million, or 78 cents a share, from October through December. It posted two straight quarterly net profits for the first time since going public in 2010. Excluding one-time items, Tesla made $2 a share, falling short of Wall Street expectations. Analysts had expected $2.20. For the full year, the company lost $976 million, or $5.72 a share. Without one-time items, the loss was $1.33 a share, better than the estimate of $1.24. Well, there's no doubt about it. Being your own boss is nice. I should know. I've been doing that for over 15 years. I get to work on what I want to work on, and I get to work on my time. But, and you knew there would be one, there are some issues. Being the sole decision maker means that you're responsible for not only bringing in income, but also for the work required to keep the business up and running. That's providing customer service, meeting legal guidelines, managing employees, promoting the business, and keeping up with the competition. So it's no wonder that many small business owners end up working long late nights and average much longer working hours than the 38.6 that is the national weekly average for workers here in the United States. Now, what being your own boss doesn't necessarily do is make you rich quick. According to PayScale's data, the average salary for a small business owner is about $72,000. Put that number in perspective, the average salary of a CEO, including those leading large corporations, is $162,000. And the average wage worker makes about $56,500 a year in earnings, all that from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Now you know. So you still want to do this? Go ahead. Take the gamble. I need some more help out here. Well, stocks ended sharply higher today after the Federal Reserve kept interest rates unchanged and stated it would be patient with raising rates moving forward. There's that word again, patient. The Dow closed 434 points higher as Boeing and Apple outperformed. Today also marked the Dow's first close above 25,000 since December 4th. S&P 500 gained 1.5% or 41 points, led by the tech and consumer discretionary sectors. The index closed at 2681, and the NASDAQ advanced 2.2% or 154 whopping points on the strength of tech. By the end of this week, more than 100 S&P 500 companies will have released their quarterly results. So far, 71% of the companies that have reported have surpassed earnings expectations. Gold once again hit a home run today, up by $10.50 to close at $1,319.40 an ounce. Gold has been on a tear over the past week. Oil bumped up by 97 cents to $54.28 a barrel, and the 10-year T-note slid down to paying 2.67%. Hey, when we come back, Angela Trigg will be our guest as we shine our small business spotlight on the Haunted Bookshop. Now, it's located in downtown Mobile, Alabama, and I got to meet Angela on a recent trip there. We thought so much of her idea and her passion for the business, we thought, why not include her in a segment for our Small Business Spotlight? Angela Trigg and the Haunted Bookshop, coming up next.